Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress. Hope for
all. We come now thanking you for the privilege of hearing your word and for the perfect teaching, preaching ministry of the Holy Spirit. We pray that he will take the text and help tailor it that each one of us, wherever we are spiritually, will understand and then practice the principles, receive the profit, give you the praise. We ask it in Jesus' name, amen and amen. Get your Bibles, stand on your feet, turn to Isaiah 41. Turn to Isaiah 41. We want to commence reading at verse 10. Isaiah chapter 41, beginning at verse 10, recorded are these words. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Behold, all they that were incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing, and they that strive with thee shall perish. Thou shalt seek them, and shalt not find them, even them that contended with thee, that they war against thee, shall be as nothing, and as a thing of naught. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading and hearers of his holy word. It suggests, seemingly here, that God is saying to Isaiah to say to the children of Israel and to the people of God that it is well with thee because of me. It is well with thee because of me. This word here that Isaiah shares, and he speaks and he calls and he is heralding this word unto the people of God, because God has need of the people of God to understand his place and his position as it relates to his people. God's people have all through history erred from the way of God and the word of God and the will of God, and yet God, who had a right to forsake them forever, to cast them off and to write them out of his will, sought time and time again to bring them back into a right state and a right place and a right fellowship with him. Amen. Fear comes upon believers when believers are out of the will of God. Fear comes upon believers when they do not function according to the word of God. Fear comes upon believers when they do not walk in the way of God. And all of that suggests that God is not with them. And I've got news for you, my brothers and sisters. If the Lord is not with you, you have a right to fear. We live in a treacherous world with demonic activity all around us, in high places, low places, in most places. And if we are not within the present fellowship and the present flow of activity with God, then there is a need to be afraid of what the enemy will do. But God is sanctioning them and summoning them back into the place where they ought to be with him, so that he might protect them and he might guide them and he might guard them. And so the word comes here as he's sharing not only historically with Israel, but with the believers today, because God is not a God that changes, that vacillates, or fluctuates. He's a God that you can count on and depend upon, because he changes not. Look at what he says. Fear thou, that means you, not. Now, the Bible teaches us in the New Testament that God, in 1 Timothy, does not give us a spirit of fear. God wants us to understand that whenever fear, and this fear that he's talking about is not a reverential or a godly fear, this is the kind of fear that comes from demonic persuasion. This comes from the enemy. This is that kind of fear that offers destruction as an end result. He says that's not the kind of fear that believers ought to have. There is a reverential fear that is stated throughout the Word of God, but whenever that fear comes upon, it is most times talking about the godly fear. The only time it is turned to the negative is when the opponents are coming against God. They have a right to fear because of the expected end of their ways. But when you are in right relationship and fellowship with God, there is nothing outside of God you ought to fear. Not even death itself, because he controls death. He has conquered death. And so there is nothing that should make a believer or a child of God fearful when God is on their side. So he says, fear, I'm talking to you not. Now look at what he says. For I am with thee. The reason why you shouldn't fear is because if I am not afraid, and if I have all things fixed, and if I can handle every situation that comes up, if I can conquer, change, and control your every condition, then what is there to fear as long as you have me near? Now listen at this now, because he's not just talking about the Israelites, he's talking about the people of God today. What are you fearful of today? What's got you perplexed? What's got you scared? What has you on the run? What has you all knotted up? What's got you all stressed out? What's got you at that point where you feel you are captured and captivated by a power that can take you out? God wants you to know there should be no fear if you are in right relationship and fellowship with him. If he's here with you, near you, then you need to know all you have to do, whatever your fears, your concerns, your problems, or your perplexities are, you can cast all of them on him, because the word says he cares for you. Now, it's one thing to have somebody on the side of you who can't help you but won't. You know, lean over and tell you, listen, that ain't my problem, that's your problem. But he's with you, and whenever he's with you, the enemy recognizes, number one, that if he's by your side, he's on your side. And so the issue then is not yours. The issue then becomes God's issue, because the devil, and if the word is anything, it's real, and you'll understand how God works by his principles, the devil cannot get to you without going through him. Now listen at this. Now Job proves that time and time again in many illustrations. But listen at this. If the devil wants to get to you this morning, the devil has first got to go through the one who's with you. And if he's going to go through the one who's with you, God will allow you to be tested. I want to make clear this. God will allow you to go through some tribulations, because he said, if you're going to be in this world, know you're going to have some tribulation. So don't think that just because he's with you that you're not going to go through trouble, and you're not going to go through tribulations, and you're not going to go through trials. Yes, you're going to go through them, but when you're going through them and he's with you, he's going to cause you to triumph over all of them. Listen to the word says, Christ always causeth us to triumph. He's there to make sure when we go through what we're going through, that we always come out of what we're going through and come out on top of what we're going through when he's with us. So why should I fear when the Lord is near to me? Now listen at this, because I need you to know this for your own sake. If you are who you say you are, I need you to know if you haven't been tested, you're about to be. And what you need to know is, in that time when fear rises up in you, the first thing you need to do is check your fellowship with God. Because if you're more afraid of stuff and things and people more than you are with God, then your either relationship is not right or your fellowship is not right. Because if you ever get to know Him and see from the Word of God and think of your own experiences of the awesome power that He possesses and can wield at His own desire, then you will know that there is nothing that is able to overtake you, overthrow you, even come nigh to you, unless it has first been filtered out through Him. And if it has been filtered out through Him before it ever gets to you, He's already placed on the trial triumph. He's already placed on the test success. He's already given you a passing grade. So when it gets to you, all you have to do is sit down and take the test, because you've already passed it, because He's grading the test. Now listen at me well. I know a whole lot of us don't understand that God wants us to be strong. One of the things that just gets underneath God's skin is scary Christians. How you gonna be scared, afraid, fearful when you have the most awesome God of the universe on your side? How are you going to let the devil make you believe that he's more powerful than the Lord when he thought he had beat not God but God's Son? And 3 days later he got up and the Son declared, "I have all power in my hand." How are you going to be afraid of what the enemy can do when you've got a God who has a chain on the enemy? You see, he might be bad, but you got to remember he's chained up. And a whole lot of us don't understand that as he is chained, he's limited, and the chain is in God's hand. And every now and then, if he gets a hold to you, don't forget, God has a mechanism on the chain that will allow him to go out. But whenever he gets ready, he can pull him back when he gets ready. Because all power is in his. Ever seen anybody with walking the dog, had them on a chain? And they got these leashes where they've got a button, they can let something line out, and they got it and they can come back in. Well, that's how the Lord has the devil on a chain. And I think you need to understand that God is your guard. God is your guard. And if he's your God, you need to know that there's no need to fear. Look at what the Word says. Then it says, be not dismayed. Because if you ain't scared, then you're all messed up in the head. You're all perplexed. You're all, you know, worked up. You're all caught in a tizzy. I mean, listen, there ought to be a soundness of mind. If he writes to Timothy and said, God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Bible says God keeps in perfect peace those who keep their minds stayed on Him. Now listen at this. If I keep my mind stayed constantly, consistently on Him, when do I have time to put it on anything else? Do you know a whole lot of us think ourselves into stuff? I mean, all it takes is a seed, and many of us will take that seed and grow it into a full-blown tree, just in our minds. That's why it's not good for some of us who don't understand who we are and whose we are to let our mind wander to any place here and there and so forth. That's why we got to be careful what we see, what we hear, what we allow ourselves to be exposed to. I mean, it's like those of us who don't really know who we are, even though we are who God says we are, will allow the enemy to put fear and cause our minds to become perplexed and confused because we don't understand what God has done in us, what God has done for us, and what God has done to us, so that the enemy cannot undo it. And that means this: if I understand my purpose in life, if I understand God's plan for my life, then I ought to also understand God's power for my life. And if I understand how that operates, I know that the end is already fixed and I am declared a winner. I cannot become dismayed when I know how the outcome is going to be. Now, let me tell you what God does. And many times, a whole lot of us are not familiar with how he operates. God will give us a vision. God will give us a word. God will speak something in our spirit and he will confirm it in our spirits. But what he does is he gives us a preview of the end of the story. But what he doesn't show us is how it's going to actually progress and process itself out to the end of the story. In other words, he shows us in the end that we're going to win. But what he doesn't show us is how many times we're going to be knocked down, how many times we're going to want to throw our hands up, how many times we're going to cry and become discouraged and see the things that will cause us to say, I know it's no way I can make it. But what he does is he gives us a encouragement and incentive to hold on, because we already know what the end is going to be. And if we know what the end is going to be, then we ought to have enough sense to understand he didn't bring us this far to leave us. And if he is who he say he is, it's on him to back it up. If I say, Lord, I surrender, Lord, I submit, Lord, I'm in your hand, then it's up to him to bring you out of there. That's why I used to get upset when the devil knocked me down. I don't get upset anymore. Used to lay down there and, well, Lord, why did I try to do what you tell me to do? Every time I take one step, Jesus, hallelujah. You know, I've learned from the word that I'm going to be knocked down sometimes. But when I'm knocked down, God has already promised that the 10 count won't find me down. And listen at this, I forgot to tell you that God not only promoted the fight, judges the fight, but he also referees the fight. And right when the devil is about to hit me with the blow that'll knock me out, he says, ding! How many of y'all ever got to that point where you just couldn't make it another step and you thought the devil was about to give you that blow and the Lord rung the bell on it? And then he brings you back to your corner. And while you're in your corner, he's saying, fear thou not. I am with you. Be thou not afraid. Don't be dismayed. You are the winner. He just sits over there and encourages you. He just sits over there and just puts you to that point of understanding who you are. He just reminds you that you got to go through, but you're going to make it through. He reminds you that one round is already behind you, that you're almost closer to your victory. Just hold on a little while longer. It's going to be all right. Listen at what the word says. Listen at what he says. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy, your God. I'm not your enemy's God. I'm your God. That means you have the home court advantage. I'm your God. That means you are on the winning team. Listen at this. He says, somebody says, I. This is God talking now. Will strengthen you. Because thee, you know, that you might not know who he's talking about when he say thee. So let me just make it clear. I will strengthen you. Now, if you want to know where your strength comes from, especially when you've used all of yours, God is your strength. Now notice that this, because you need to understand, if God says, I will strengthen you, don't you know he knows when you get weak? See, some of you go through stuff and you tell me, I can't take no more. And God don't show up. Lord, I don't know how much more of this I can stand.
Yes, Lord.
And God don't show up. If the Lord don't help me, I don't know if I can. And the Lord don't show up. But when you've used every ounce of your strength and ain't got no more, then he comes, because he says, I will strengthen you. And one of the comforts and the assurances that you must have as a saint is this, that God is always monitoring your strength level. Constantly monitoring your strength level. And he will never, ever, listen at this, allow your strength to be totally depleted. When it gets to an unsafe level, you got to know that God shows up right on time. And when he strengthened, you remember Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane? When he called the disciples to him and he told them, listen, I'm going to go a little bit yonder further and pray. And he went a little further and he prayed and he said, oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. Came back, the disciples were sleeping. Yeah. Told them to wake up and watch with him a while. Went back, prayed it again. Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou. Came back again, the disciples were sleeping again. Went back and had another talk with the Lord. He prayed, oh, my Father, if it be possible. Yeah. Yeah. Let this cup. What was he talking about, this cup? The cup represented all of the sins and the bitterness and all that he would have to endure for mankind. He was simply saying, Lord, if it's any way we can rewrite the script, if it's any way we can redo this thing, if it's any other way that I can save man other than giving my life and shedding my blood, please make it possible. Yeah. Yeah. Nevertheless. Not my will, but thine be done. And one writer records that the Bible says God sent angels down and strengthened him. You see, when you get to that point where you're ready to give up, but you know it's God's will, when you get to that point where you can't go another further, and you get to that point where you don't know what else to do, and you get to that point where you know what you have to do, but you don't feel you got strength to do it, when you get to that point where you called and cried upon the name of the Lord and can't go no further, he measures your strength level, and all he knows, if you had a little more strength, you could do what he's called you to do. So he comes right in on time and fills you with strength to do his will, not yours. I will strengthen thee. I will strengthen you. Look at what he says. Yay! Somebody say yay. Now this is a word of confirmation. This is a word of excitement. This yay here is a word that again suggests not only does God confirm what he's saying, but he's excited to confirm it. Look at what he says. Somebody say I. This is God. Will help thee or you. Now my question to you is, if God helps you, who can hurt you? If God helps you, who can harm you? If God helps you, who then, if the Bible says, if he be for you, who can be against you? If God is, if he is for you, then the question really is, what power or potentate can really do anything against you? And the answer is none. Now look at what he goes on to say. Somebody say I. Because this is the Lord talking. Will uphold you, thee, with the right hand of my righteousness. Now here's what you need to know. First of all, if the Lord is holding you, you're in good hands. I said, if the Lord is holding you, you're in good hands. But because he's so powerful and strong, he don't need to have his hands on you. One hand is good enough. I think it's Allstate that says you're in good hands. But that's Allstate. God's state says you're in good hand. y'all don't hear me. God's state is better than Allstate and any other state that you can be in when you're in God's care, there is no other authority, no other power, no other potentate who is able to rival God's standing with you. Look at what he says, I will uphold. Now, when it's upholding you, it is always so as to position you so that the enemy can see that you are well secured in the hand of the Lord. Jesus said, those whom the Lord has placed, God the Father has placed in his hand, the devil can't pluck them out. But God does lift you up. Uphold means he wants the devil to see that you are in a secure place. He displays you so the devil will know that you belong to God. He does want, he ain't hiding you. He's got you upheld. So when the devil even tries to come your way, he's got to deal with the hand before he can ever get to the man. Somebody ought to hear me here. He upholds, listen at this though, with his right hand. Now, here's what you've got to know. The right hand of God is always synonymous with blessings and power. Now, if God's right hand, which is the hand, and I got news for you, because the right hand is always his good hand, and the left hand is his warring hand. And there's some things he says, I'm going to put you in my best hand, which is the hand of blessing and power for you. Now, though it has many different connotations connected with it, when it talks about his right hand of righteousness, it means that God himself will be the one who will do battle for you. It is the one who will provide for you and protect you. It is the one who will bless you in a way that no one can unbless you or bother you. And I've got news for you. When you are in God's hand in that place and in that state, my brothers and sisters, you've got a right to rejoice. Because I got news for you. Nothing upsets the enemy more than to see you blessed and on top. Listen at this now. And can't do nothing about it. Do you know you got some enemies? They may be your neighbors. There may be folk on your job. There may be folk who call themselves your friends or acquaintances. There may even be some folks sitting next to you in church. There may even be some of your family folk who can't stand to see you blessed. But I got news for you. If God has blessed you, it ain't a thing they can do about it. All they can say is, she make me sick, he make me sick, he get on my nerve, he think he all that. They can do that all day and all night, but God's got angels watching over you. They can wish you die, they can wish you have a heart attack, they can wish you lose everything you have, but God's got angels. I wish I had a witness here. They can devise with their tongue. They can make up with their minds. They can make all kinds of weapons. But the Bible says, no weapon that is formed against you shall. Now, he didn't say they wasn't going to try. Didn't say they wasn't going to do their part. But God is saying, I've got this thing fixed. What the devil meant for evil, I turned that thing around and made good. For we know that all things work together for good for them that love the Lord, for them who are called according to you are more than a conqueror. You who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you shall overcome the world because I have overcome the world. I'm trying to tell you, what are you afraid of? God has got this thing fixed. Come on, give him praise if you know it's well with your soul. All the doors of the church are open. The doors of the church are open this morning. It is well with thee because of me, God says. Give him a hand of praise. The doors are open today. God wants you to know that you ought to rest in him. You are blessed in him. And that you've already passed every test in him. So what are you afraid of? What are you bothered by? What are you troubled by? You have the victory. Glory to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory. Glory, glory, glory. there another who will come as these have done this morning? My brother, my brother, my brother.